What up, everyone? This is Joel Sid, and you are tuned into Crypto Chain X. And today we'll be talking about something super cool that's calling itself the third generation of cryptocurrencies. And this is Cardano. Cardano is a cryptocurrency. Cardano is a platform. Cardano is God's gift to humanity. I'm just joking. But let's look into it. What makes Cardano so special? What is Cardano? Why do we need another cryptocurrency? And there seems to be a lot of buzz around Cardano. So is it just mere speculation, or what exactly everyone is seeing? So you as an investor, or you as a student of this blockchain revolution or cryptocurrency world, you can understand what Cardano is and you can make educated decisions. So without wasting any time, let's do this. Welcome back, guys. This is Joel Sid. So let's talk about Cardano today. So Cardano is one of those third generation cryptocurrencies that everybody is excited about. People are talking about it. But let's look into it. What is it? Why is it so special? And how you can go about getting that? So when we talk about what is Cardano, Cardano is a creation and a brainchild of Charles Hoskinson. And Charles Hoskinson was one of the developers at the Ethereum project, and he was working alongside Vitalik Buterin. And they created a really great product, which is now globally accepted, and they solved a lot of the problems that Bitcoin had. So Bitcoin was just designed for transactions, and that's it. So Bitcoin works this way. Alice and Bob want to transact and send money to each other. They will use Bitcoin, and Bitcoin blockchain is just meant for transactions. That's it. And it's finite. It's limited amount. What if Alice and Bob have a contract, meaning Alice is saying, Bob, you will get this only if you cut my grass outside, right? So now it's a contract. And that's where Vitalik Buterin went ahead and elevated the whole blockchain to next level with Ethereum, because now Ethereum has these smart contracts that they are built in. So once you agree to something and that gets executed, and all these contracts, they stay on this blockchain forever and a day. Well, that's the concept of it. Problem with that is, if you have all these contracts and if people agreeing to these contracts and people validating, and the validation is done by proof of work, and that's same as Bitcoin too. So the problem with that is, like, that overall transactions per second gets significantly slower. So Bitcoin right now, it's around, I think, 7 transactions or so per second. And it might have gone a little bit more, but overall, Ethereum is around 20 transactions per second. And everyone is talking about going up to 200 transactions to 1,000,000 transactions per second. That's 1,000,000 seems to be like the holy grail of these transactions. And it kind of makes sense that if you want the global adoption, you want more people on it, you want to be able to transact fast. So if I were to send you some kind of money, like, I should be able to send it to you right away, not that you have to wait 2 or 3 days to receive that money. And that totally makes sense. And that happens because of proof of work. Proof of work goes to different nodes, which is basically different computers and different mining computers. And then people validate, and then it comes back as a valid transaction, which gets stored into a blockchain. So with Cardano, they wanted to solve that. And two other issues they wanted to solve was, it was interoperability and sustainability. So let's look into scalability first. So scalability is the transactions per second, as we talked about, and it's kind of self-explanatory that in order for us to have global adoption, it needs to be fast enough. The way Cardano solves that, as opposed to having a proof of work stake, they have something called proof of stake. What that means is, as opposed to going to every single person, what they call is slot leaders. And these slot leaders are network elected. So the network will elect these slot leaders, and these slot leaders will then be responsible for individual blocks as opposed to everything else. Cool thing about this is, first of all, these slot leaders are network selected and they will be responsible for each block. Let's say they fail in their task to kind of verify that block, then they will lose their position and the network will select somebody else to be the slot leader. In this way, the overall system would not bog down the bandwidth. So it becomes faster. And this is done by something Cardano calls Ouroboros. And it's a peer-reviewed method. Many universities, they brought in so many experts who were cryptographic geniuses. Like, they have been doing this for a very long time. And cryptography as a language, it's been around for a really long time. So they wanted people to provide their input, and they wanted their ideas to be reviewed by the external bodies to make sure the concept and the direction they are going into is feasible even. The next issue when it comes to the scalability is the network bandwidth. So just imagine there's hundreds of thousands of transactions happening per second. And since it's a peer-to-peer network, and peers meaning you people like just you and I, so what happens is when the transactions go up, the requirements go significantly higher, and the network bandwidth can really be bogged down. So what Cardano did, they came out with this really creative architecture, which is called RINA, Recursive Internetwork Architecture, which is, you can think of it like as a next level of TCP/IP, which is the network protocol. And cool thing about this is RINA is still built on the same principles as TCP/IP, which is the privacy, transparency, and security that will allow these separate networks to still integrate with each other, but without bogging every single thing down. So it's like splitting the overall network into different pieces that can still connect and talk to each other without kind of like every single computer receiving all the data on the blockchain. They will only receive certain parts of it, but they can always communicate and verify with the other parts within the network. This allows for Cardano to easily, seamlessly integrate into the network without slowing it down. Like, you can move tons and tons of information around. Within scalability, last issue is the data. How are we going to store this data? Because every single thing is stored on the blockchain, and eventually, like documents, your music, even videos, a lot of things can be stored onto the blockchain. So how are we going to run this network with so much data on it? And right now, Cardano understands this, and the way they are thinking about doing this is by compression, prunability, and like partitioning. But this is not their top priority, because they think first two problems within the scalability, which is the transactions per second, and the second one is the network bandwidth, needs to be tackled first. And they'll be focusing their attention on the storage part later in 2018 or sometime in 2019. Now let's move on to the second big issue that they wanted to solve, was interoperability. So right now we have some of the key issues that's making this so difficult is there are so many cryptocurrencies that are out there, but they don't talk to each other. And even though some of the cryptocurrencies, they are, for example, Bitcoin and Litecoin, they are built on the same blockchain, but they don't really talk. Like, if you want to convert your Bitcoin to Litecoin, you will have to go through an exchange or a wallet or you have to go through an intermediate party. So, and another issue that they are trying to solve is the banks and the normal traditional world, because the world that we have today is not going to just disappear overnight. And for next coming years, like, I don't know, I'm just guessing right now, just like internet, right? It took time to mature from the dial-up to the high-speed internet we have right now. And still, we have tons of problems with internet, right? Right now, there's a net neutrality. we clouds are getting hacked. So there's a lot of issues that need solving. So there's that implementation, and then there's kind of like continuous improvement that needs to be taken care of. So our banks and our current systems are here to stay for at least, I would say, 15 or so years. And in that time, we will have to operate within the given infrastructure. So now think of it this way. You are an ICO and you raise millions of dollars. Now you want to convert these millions of dollars, like, okay, I should say millions of dollars worth, let's say in Bitcoin or Ethereum. And now you want to convert this Ethereum into dollars so you can deposit in your bank. But now when you go to the bank will have questions because banks have to report. Banks have to report to the government agencies. So they will ask you, where did you get this money from? And they really don't trust the crypto side because there's no central place that can translate a lot of information or a lot of blockchains to a common language. And that's where Cardano comes in. So Cardano doesn't think that they're the one cryptocurrency that will change everything, but they are saying they can understand the different blockchains and they can translate that to the traditional world. So that makes it easier. So governments and the banks will have more trust over the cryptocurrency side, and they won't be seeing the businesses that are in this space with high level of risk. Because right now it's very risky and banks and everyone is like at alert because there are so many different types of currencies being created, different types of coins are being created. And reason different types of coins are always being created is if, let's say, there's a disagreement between one camp. So Ethereum and within Ethereum, they're like, okay, we should go this way or that way. They have Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. Bitcoin had same thing, and they decided to have Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. So that doesn't happen in our traditional world. So if there is a disagreement within the government, nothing impacts the dollar in a sense that you won't really go and create a dollar and dollar classic, right? Or dollar cash or something like that. So that's why the stability needs to come, and Cardano gives good promise, I would say, to understand this as becoming the internet of all the coins, where it understands different blockchains and can translate that information to a common language where it can be trusted all across. And only way it's going to be possible is when we have these transactions happening. So for example, who made this transaction and who, from where it came from, let's say, all this stuff is called like metadata, right? When you create a blog or so, right, in a blog or a blog post or kind of like hashtags too, you can say like terms that you can search something from. So those metadata is the traces of where this whole thing is from. And obviously, in order for us to work with the banks, some of this has to be very transparent than like currently agreed on in most of the, what you call your crypto space and blockchain space. So if you want to work with the banks, we have to disclose more information. And I think it kind of makes sense that if some people want to disclose that, they don't have to, but others who want to, they should have that flexibility to work with different banks and governments, because end of the day, we are still operating within a system until we completely become decentralized. And I think that's a far off dream. So that's where Cardano really comes in, and they understand the metadata from different blockchains that can be shared with these banks. So the next big issue that they are trying to solve is sustainability. So going back to our ICO, let's say an ICO raises millions of dollars today by offering everyone a token. And that's the only way they can make money at this point, right? So that's the only way they'll be funded, when people who are buying those coins, they are part of the overall movement and they can raise money. But what happens, let's say, 5 years down the line when money runs out and inflation is constantly going up? Do they raise money again by offering more coins, or like should they continue the same way? But now, in order for them to continue, they don't have the funds. And this is really important for constant and continuous improvement of Cardano. So what Cardano proposes is they create a treasury. And this treasury is where small amounts of total money raised will be deposited. And with time, as changes are required for Cardano, and let's say marketing is needed, let's say new development is needed, let's say someone needs to create, I don't know, content like YouTube videos. So whatever is the requirement, people will present those proposals. And those proposals will then be voted by the Cardano community and the network. And the proposals that seem to be most viable and most needed for Cardano's continuous development will then get voted. So whatever wins the most consensus, like whatever is the agreed upon proposal, then they get the money from the treasury, and people obviously give them money in the future, and they continue in that direction. So that way, the creation of these coins will kind of like be eliminated, because we have now this treasury, and that treasury is voting on these future continuous improvement agendas and know where the money is going and what the money is required and how much money will be required to improve Cardano to the next level that's required to accommodate that time's need. Like, it could be 50 years down the line, 10 years down the line, could be 5 years down the line. Let's recap and see the fundamental issues that Cardano aims to solve. One is interoperability, scalability, and sustainability. Scalability, they are trying to solve by focusing on some of the key issues. One is transactions per second, the network bandwidth, and the data. And the data storage, they'll be focusing mainly on in about 2018, late or 2019. The sustainability problem is being solved by the treasury and having the vote from the network, so the treasury can provide money to the continuous improvement of Cardano. And then the last one is interoperability, which will be solved by creating a language or creating the internet for all the cryptocurrencies where Cardano can understand the different blockchains and they can create better trust between today's current traditional banks and governments, where these industries and these companies, they are built around cryptocurrency and blockchain are not seem high risk. So now let's look into how we can go and buy Cardano. Cardano is not as easy to buy as Ethereum and Bitcoin, because Ethereum and Bitcoin, they are one of the biggest and most widely available cryptocurrencies out there. And you can buy them just by logging into Coinbase. Whereas Cardano, there are few hoops we have to jump.
There's a quick correction. These hoops that we are talking about, they were correct as of earlier September. As of September 28th, Kraken, one of the other crypto exchanges, announced that they'll be adding Cardano to its offering. So right now, there are not that many hoops. If you are using Kraken, I haven't used Kraken. And again, I only talk about the things I have used. So what I'm going to do is, after this podcast, I'm going to create an account on Kraken, use it, and I'll let you guys know how that goes. But until I do that, until I know what are the pros and cons of Kraken, the fees and all that stuff, we have to go through some of these hoops. If you guys want to be adventurous and go and create your own accounts, or if you already have a Kraken account, then feel free to skip rest of the episode. So Cardano is now available on Kraken, and you can buy that with your US dollar, Canadian dollar, and there are other pairs too. And now let's get back to our podcast.
And that's something I think they really need to fix, because I think this is not normal. Especially when I was doing all this, like, I was like, man, like, I mean, there has to be an easier way to buy these things and without paying like your arm and a leg in what you call your transaction fees. But well, until they figure something out, here are the steps. First of all, you will create, and I highly recommend, create a separate account to deal with all these things. Because if you create like your Gmail or Yahoo, problem with that is they can easily be hacked. So look into kind of email account that's encrypted. So for example, ProtonMail, or there are other email services, and I'll leave the links below for you guys to check. So use different kind of email address to transact or buy any kind of cryptocurrencies. Next step is use that email, the one that's encrypted, and to create an account on Coinbase. Once you create an account on Coinbase to verify yourself, they will require your ID, and they will require maybe second piece of ID like a passport or something, or maybe like a license. And over there, you can log in with your credit card. Right now, I know in Canada, a lot of banks are not allowing the credit cards to go through. But some banks, they allow their debit cards. They have Visa debit card or something on similar lines. Those can be added. So look into which country you're from, and maybe your banks are awesome. They allow you to buy cryptocurrencies with credit cards. That would be great. If not, you can always add your debit Visa card to Coinbase. And also you can connect your bank account directly, which depending on, like, I wasn't comfortable of doing that, so I didn't do it. But if you are comfortable connecting your bank account to Coinbase, sure, go ahead. So those are some of the ways. And if you're looking at some of the other cards that you can use to buy or add to your Coinbase account, I'll leave links to those cards down below. Now, once you have created a Coinbase account, added your bank account, credit card, or a debit card to it, next step is to buy these cryptocurrencies. So it's up to you. Right now, Coinbase only offers four different cryptocurrencies, which is your Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, and Ethereum. They have said that they'll be adding some more currencies in the coming year. So until they do that, that would be great. And I think Cardano was on the list. So if that happens, then you don't have to go to the next step. You can just buy Cardano here. But if you want to take advantage of right now, market is low, best thing is buy Ethereum, Bitcoin, Litecoin, whatever you prefer. And once you bought it, and let's say you start with, I think most people will start with $250 or $500 limit. And I think that's good enough. So buy whatever works for you. Next step is to send money from Coinbase to an external exchange that has Cardano listed on it. So I'll just tell you from based on my experience, I looked into different exchanges, and different exchanges are good based on where you are based out of too. Like if you are in China, Korea, Europe, and North America, whatever exchange works for you. For me personally, I like Binance. Binance works for me. So I'll walk you through the steps of how to create an account on Binance, and you can go from there. So in order for you to create an account on Binance, it's very similar to how you created an account on Coinbase. But here you don't need your ID, like your passport or driver's license initially. And the limitation is if you don't provide your license and like your ID or passport initially and verify yourself who you are only limited to withdrawing 2 Bitcoins daily in about 24 hours period. Whereas once you verify yourself, I think you can go up to 100 Bitcoins. So I mean, even if Bitcoin right now as we speak is around 6,000 or so, that's around $12,000 withdrawal. So if you're investing $12,000, amazing. So the way to go about doing the Binance is you will go on to Binance.com. I will leave the link below. Go to that place. And once you click on create an account, they will request for your email address, and then you create your password. Make sure password is like solid. And then as a next step, they will also request you to have two-factor authentication. So you can do that by adding your phone number or by having a Google Authenticator. I highly recommend you should do that. Once your account has been created, it's really self-explanatory. Once that's done, now you are ready to receive the deposit. So you will go on to the top corner. It's going to say funds. And once you scroll onto the funds tab, next thing would be deposits. You will click on deposits, and here you will have a drop down, and drop down will have so many different kind of cryptocurrencies. You will type the cryptocurrency only which you have bought at Coinbase and the one that you want to transfer. So that's the critical thing. So if you bought Bitcoin, don't select Bitcoin Cash because your money would not come through. So make sure you are diligent in this. Like, you have to select type Bitcoin. Just verify that you are selecting Bitcoin, not Bitcoin Cash. Or if you have Ethereum, you're selecting Ethereum, not Ethereum Classic. So once you have verified that you have selected Bitcoin to Bitcoin, they will give you a 32 or so kind of like a public key that you can deposit your funds into. You will copy this public key. You will go to your Coinbase, and under what you call your accounts, you will select the cryptocurrency that you want to transfer. So in this case, we are transferring Bitcoin. So it's going to say BTC wallet. That's your Bitcoin wallet. So you will select that and you will click on the tab that says send. Once you click on it, it's going to give you a box where you can enter your Binance deposit key, public key. And once you deposit it, it's going to ask for two-factor authentication if you have enabled that. If not, it's just going to say, okay, this is the amount that's going to be given to the miners. They will also give you an option to send this by email. It's totally up to you, but a lot of times, like, emails can be hacked. And that's what I was initially telling you. If you decided to send money through email, it's preferred that it's going to an encrypted email as opposed to Yahoo or Gmail. So just be mindful of that. If you send through email, there's no minor fees. So that's the way you can avoid some of the fees. There's one other way you can avoid the fees is by sending this to GDAX, or right now it's called Coinbase Pro, but that's a little bit confusing. So I'm just trying to keep it basic. In maybe one of the other episodes, I'll cover how you can send it to Coinbase Pro and not get charged any fee. But until then, let's focus on this one. So once you enter your key, you will click send. Coinbase will give you the breakdown of how much amount that's going to be sent to the miners, and you will go send. For Bitcoin, since the transactions take a little longer, it's going to, like for me, it took like maybe an hour to 2 hours. So it totally depends how busy the network is, how many transactions are going through. Sometimes I know some people, it took them 24 hours for their money to actually be deposited into Binance. So stay patient. And once your money has been deposited in your Binance account under funds, you will see all the transactions and you will see the amount that got deposited. You can verify with Coinbase based on how much amount you sent and what came through, if you got everything or not. So that's one of the ways you can verify it. But overall, once you have received now funds in Binance, there's two more steps. One is, it's not really a step, it's more options. You can just take these, let's say Bitcoin that you just received from Coinbase, and you can just buy Cardano with it. You can convert this into Binance coin, and then you can buy Cardano. Benefit of converting this into Binance coin is you pay 50% less fee. So it's totally up to you. This is one of the simplest ways to get Cardano. I'm sure there's a million other ways. I don't trust a lot of the exchanges because right now exchanges are getting hacked. So I'm only telling you the things I have done. Hopefully it works for you. But again, do your due diligence and see which exchanges work for you. And if maybe there's something I have missed, or any exchanges that you guys think are really reliable or worth covering, send me an email and I will do my best and I'll do my research and I will share those ones with you guys.
And here's the end of Cardano episode. On this podcast, we don't provide financial advice. This is not investment advice. This is simply knowledge. Because our aim here is to help every single one of you to prosper in this blockchain economy and to do great things. And great things start with education, equality, and empowerment. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Always keep learning. Until next time, cheers.